Welcome to Career Tools. Today's topic, create a trip folder. Here we go. So we've talked about trip folders before, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, this is one of the things we suggest that all managers have their admins create trip folders before they go out on a trip.
Right. And the original cast for trip folders was for managers, right?
It was.
And Wendy and I got a bunch of questions about, okay, how do you create them? Which we thought was fairly straightforward. And then we realized, you know, we've gotten a lot of emails from admins about trip folders and about our series of casts, about effective executive, efficient admin, right? About how to be an effective at it. And managers have written us and admins have written us and said, wow, that was fabulous.
Yeah. And if you're an admin and your boss has not asked for a trip folder,
yeah,
and you produce one anyways, oh my God.
Yeah. Even a step further, let's even take it out of admin. Let's talk about the special assistant, the person who's in a role. Maybe you're an intern. Right? Maybe you're a young executive and you've been given a role working for a more senior, not a young executive, but a young college graduate, maybe in a special program. This is how you prepare your boss to go on the road. And you're right. If he hasn't or she hasn't asked for it and you hand them, here's a trip folder with all the details. Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. So if you need to create one for your manager or yourself, where do you start? What do you do? And it's really simple. We've got 7 steps. The first thing you do is you put all the details on their calendar first. And by the way, if it's on their calendar, it's got to be on your calendar. If you can't see their calendar, then you need to put it on your calendar. You're responsible for helping them in their travels over the course of their trip. Number two, you've got to imagine the whole trip. And this is where so many people make mistakes. I mean, that's one of the great benefits of Wendy, although I'm sure I'm going to lose her as an admin, as an assistant, because she's doing so much more with CareerTools now. But the whole idea of really walking through every step, how am I going to get from here to there, is really, really important. Then you create the trip folder, and you always do it chronologically, because that the whole point of logistics is when you're talking about a trip logistically, not the goal of the trip, not the various resources required on the trip, but the trip itself, you want to deliver to the person chronologically. And there are 4 things we want you to include on there: confirmations, phone numbers, contact details, and maps. And part of this is, I know some of you are saying, maps, well, we can get digital maps. Yes, you can, unless your phone is dead, unless your laptop is dead, unless your phone is dead and that's where your calendar is, and your laptop doesn't have access to your calendar for some reason.
Right, or you're traveling in a place like my home where there's barely any cellular access.
Right. Yeah, where you've got to have a microcell, right? Number 5, you've got to check it against another source. So many people miss this. You've got to double check to make sure it's right. Number 6, you've got to have a last page on there. We've talked about this before, a last page with the 20 most frequently called numbers, because if you have a travel EMP moment, you've got to be able to have phone numbers so that somebody can get to a cell phone, somebody else's cell phone, or to a pay phone to be able to call a number when their phone dies or when they lose their phone. And then the last step is you've got to make sure the person who's traveling gets handed a printed version of it. The best trip folder in the world that's not printed out becomes worthless when they have an EMP moment.
Exactly. And there's a cast on EMP moments if you haven't heard it already.
Yeah, exactly right. Thanks to Call of Duty, by the way, but we'll leave that for that cast.
So your first point, put all the details on the calendar first. I mean, this is a big mistake folks make, right? The details of the trip have to be on the calendar before you even start doing the trip folder.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that people think that something like a trip folder is something you can do a little bit at a time. And what we've learned from talking to a lot of executives, being an executive, having admins, working with admins, is the trip folder really gets created in the last few days. The more time you spend creating it well in advance, the more changes are going to be made, and you're going to end up wasting time overall. You're not going to get a better result, but you're going to end up having spent more time on it. So you put the details on your calendar, but you don't actually create the trip folder until probably a week before the trip. And my trips tend to have a lot of changes. And look, folks, that's neither good nor bad. Some people's travels, they have a lot of changes, and that's fine. It's a function of client changes. Some companies say, no, you can't do changes because changes can be expensive. Sometimes a client wants me to spend longer. Sometimes something changes and I finish a little bit earlier and I have a chance to get home, and that's always a plus for me to be able to get home. So we don't recommend you spend a whole lot of time creating the trip folder well in advance, only to have to redo it over. So if Wendy starts too early in the trip folder, you end up with not enough information. And again, it's likely to change. We're not saying here that you only plan a trip a week out. Of course not. You know, flights are generally booked 4 to 6 weeks out or even further, depending, and hotels the same way, depending upon what your corporate travel office, if you have one, recommends. And if you don't have a corporate travel office and you're booking flights, you're always booking flights a couple of days before to, quote, maintain flexibility, unquote. You're spending money for that flexibility. I can't tell you the number of executives I've told, or managers I've told, look, I know you're trying to maintain flexibility, but the flight that cost you $1,600 this week would have cost you $400 last week. And with the $400 change fee, it still only would have been $800 if, in fact, somebody makes you pay a $400 change fee, which a lot of places only charge $150. So there may not be seats at the $400 level, but boy, that's a mistake. And another thing people do is they, oh no, I always book the hotel at the last minute. Why? What? I had a young person tell me recently, Mike, that, well, with, you know, Mark, you don't probably realize this, but with things like Priceline.com and so on, you can get last minute hotel deals. Great. Okay. Yeah. Maybe.
Maybe not.
Maybe. And maybe it's 5 miles from your location. And for another $20, you could have gotten a reserved room guaranteed next door to your client. And there can be repercussions from being perceived as staying in the wrong hotel at the wrong time.
Sure.
So look, as each of the confirmations for each of the elements of a trip comes in, and yes, if you're responsible for helping somebody with their travel, you have to be paying attention to their travel, to their schedule 2 and 3 weeks in advance, and be asking yourself virtually every day, okay, how many legs in this trip? How many details in this trip? And what details do I have? And at what point am I going to have to start asking for more information?
Right. Well, let's talk about those details on the calendar, because that's one thing that's driving me crazy, right? Simply having on there, you know, flight from San Francisco to New York.
Oh, dude, you're killing me. Even just hearing you say that makes me uncomfortable. I mean, seriously, I'm like, what? Like, for instance, flight from San Francisco to New York. Okay, but is it FFO? Is it OAK? Is it SJC? And by the way, is it to LGA? Is it to NEW?
Well, is it JFK? Happened to me, right? I was picking you up from the airport.
Oh, I'm sorry. Wait, hold on. Let me poke myself in the eye here real quick. Let me just poke myself in the eye. After what, 10 or 15 years of me traveling to D.C.? Me traveling to D.C. at the same airport. Again, me traveling to D.C. for 10 or 15 years and me seeing you on all those trips and often you being the client and always flying into the airport closest to your building, which was literally within, 1,000 meters? Was the airport within 1,000 meters of your old building?
That. Yeah,
1,000 meters. And I show up one evening and I say, no, I'll get a car. You're like, no, I'll definitely pick you up. I'm like, okay, but whatever. I hate having to wait at airports.
Yeah, and you're saying I'm right outside the American Terminal. Okay.
Yeah, you say you're right.
I just drove by. I didn't see you.
Just drove around.
Well, I'll just go around one more time. And after about 2 or 3 times.
Two or three times. Literally, we waited. And finally, it was,
What airport are you at? I'm at Reagan. Oh, well, I'm at Dulles.
No, actually, let's be clear. No. I said, which airport are you at? And you immediately went, oh, my God. Because you naturally assumed everybody goes through Dulles, which – only crazy people fly through Dulles, and all the rest of us fly through Reagan, the old Congressional. Yeah, it was one of those moments.
Besides just, you know, giving you an opportunity to make fun of me, was on my calendar, I had, you know, my admin had put on my calendar, pick Mark up at the airport. Well, okay. I fly out of Dulles. And so in my mind, I'm just thinking Dulles and wow, yeah. I paid for that mistake. Well, no, I should say you paid for that mistake.
Yeah, that's right. I did. I'm sure I said something like it's fine. I'm sure I was in shorts and anyway. Yeah. So as each of the confirmations for the elements come in, you put the details on the calendar. Look, folks, for flights, you've got to include the flight number. And by the way, a flight number includes both letters, which are the indicator for the airline, like AA for American Airlines or UA for United Airlines. I suppose JetBlue is JB, Juliet Bravo, but I don't know that for sure. Southwest is SWAS or SW or SWA, right? Delta is usually DL, right? It's the flight number, letters and numbers together, the departure and destination city, and folks, and something called the record locator, the URL. It's interesting, URL, uniform record locator or record locator, which is something that identifies it. If you give a record locator to a particular airline, they'll tell you whether or not that's their flight and whose flight it can be. And I'm stunned by the number of people who say, yeah, I'm flying from San Francisco to New York. And they say, I say, which airport? And they say, well, the same, you know, normal. Well, which one's that? Oh, SFO and LGA. Okay, but dude, no offense, but there are three airports in New York. And frankly, the people who fly in and out of JFK think of JFK as the New York airport, even though LaGuardia is the closest. And the people who fly out of LaGuardia say, why would you think that JFK? I know JFK is – some people fly out of that, but every executive I know flies out of LaGuardia unless they – you know, unless for some reason they're going out of the heliport. So – yeah, you've got to have that for hotels. You've got to include the name of the hotel. Folks, you have to include the address. When you say DoubleTree Hotel, do you know how many DoubleTrees there are in Chicago? I'm sure it's not as many as there are Toastmasters in Chicago. What did we discover? There's like 150 of those.
I know there's at least one more than the one I was supposed to be at. From experience.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Murphy's Law of Hotels. It's not the one I'm at. Right? So the name of the hotel, the address, the confirmation number, and the telephone number. Okay? And the reason you've got to do this is for busy managers and executives, they don't know. They're thinking about the work they have to do. And yeah, if it's the same trip every time and it's always McCoy, which is MCO, which for those of you who don't know is Orlando. If it's Orlando to Atlanta every time, I'm sure that, you know, there's probably a most likely airline there. That's fine. On the other hand, if you live in southeastern Florida, the way Amy Kaufman, our friend, does, you can fly out of three different airports. And maybe you normally fly out of Fort Lauderdale, which is fine. On the other hand, it may be that it's a last minute trip and the chances of going out of Fort Lauderdale are fine as long as you're willing to pay $2,500. But you go out of Miami for $800-$900 less, suddenly you'd be willing to make a change. You've got to include that information. And you never know. Somebody's going to say, what airport? And for some of us who travel a lot, particularly those folks who travel a lot and don't – who may not be used to an admin – they just say, I'm going to the airport, and they have to tell the cabbie. They have to tell somebody which airport they're going to. They have to tell a client where they're going to, and they may not necessarily know. It's frankly, a lot of executives say, I don't really care. I just need to know where I'm supposed to go. I need to know how I need to be able to leave in enough time to get there. And if this sounds like outsourcing travel thinking to somebody else, you're right. That's the whole point of this. And if you're responsible for a trip folder, it's your job to travel as if it was yourself and to know every step. And when you start thinking about somebody else having to rely on the thoughts in your head, you begin to get smart about putting the thoughts in your head on paper so that somebody else can know exactly what to do. Look, flights and hotels are the elements of the trip where the cost is generally related to the length of time before the trip that they're booked, right? I mentioned that earlier. As time gets closer, it's more likely that flights will get booked up, especially at the most cost-effective price points. They sell the buckets that are cheapest soonest. And oh, by the way, the times that people like to leave on flights, like at the end of a workday, those tend to be the busiest times to fly because airlines want those times. And unfortunately, they're also more expensive than the times in the middle of the day. And look, it's just very rare, thanks to the modern airline industry, that a whole bunch of seats will open up in the last few days before departure. Airlines have shuttered hundreds of planes in their fleets, and there's not empty seats. Those of you who travel frequently know that almost every seat is taken on every flight. If you're depending upon that kind of flexibility late, you're making a terrible mistake. Okay? Taxis, car services, trains, other forms of transport also suffer from this, but probably not as much. So you can tend to book those a little bit closer to the departure date when the rest of the plans, the limitations in the plans, airports and hotels, have already been firmed up. And just before the trip folder is created, you put all that stuff on the calendar. So if, for God forbid, the trip folder is not created, the person's calendar gives a detailed accounting of everything they're supposed to do. I'll give you a classic example. If you look on my calendar, I'm going to Dallas sometime soon. And when I go to Dallas, there is an hour on my schedule to go from Fredericksburg to San Antonio. And then there's time at the airport that's unbooked. I may have a phone appointment then. And then there's the flight to Dallas. And then there's travel time from Dallas, from DFW to the airport, whichever airport it is that we're having a conference at. In my particular case, you know, it shows car service and then San Antonio to Dallas. In fact, I'm looking here at, for those of you with premium content or individual licenses, the a printout that Wendy provided in the show notes of my travel schedule. And it shows car service from 7:30 to 8:30 in the morning. And then at 10:40 in the morning, I have me get into the airport 2 hours in advance because I'm anal that way. I go from San Antonio to Dallas. I've got to write something on the plane from San Antonio to Dallas. Wendy's instructed me to do that. I've got to write a newsletter while I'm in Dallas, Fort Worth Airport at 12:30 to 1:30 on this day. I have my partner one-on-one with Mike. At 1:50 that day, I go from on American flight 1062 from Dallas to Pittsburgh. Oh, I must be going to see Confluence. And by the way, it's American flight 465. And this is all a printout in iCal. But if I opened up each one of these appointments, it would show me my flight number, my record locator, and so not just my flight number, but record locator and so on. And by the way, from between 3 and 5 p.m. while I'm on the flight to Pittsburgh, I have to write a Manager Tools cast for recording coming up later in the month. And then I have from 5:30 to 6:30, I have a car service. And then it says at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock, Hyatt Place, Pittsburgh, North Shore. What is not on the calendar, but Wendy knows she does, this is the rare exception to our rule here. The one thing that's not on my calendar is visiting Primanti Brothers in the Strip District in Pittsburgh, which has the best quote unquote fast food anywhere in the country. And if you don't know Primanti Brothers, it's better than In-N-Out. And if you know In-N-Out, that's pretty serious.
Very serious.
Yeah. So in that case, look, you've got to have all this in the calendar. The calendar used to be people's trip folder, okay? The problem is calendars have become electronic. People used to have diaries, and their admins used to write in the diaries or their calendar, and their Filofax or in their gosh darn it, what's the other big brand name that I've lost track of? Filofax and – oh, Day Planner and Day Runners, right? But they don't have – we all have electronic calendars now. If you don't have an electronic calendar, wow, this cast may not be for you. But the trip folder – provides an opportunity to share that information with you not having any electronics available. That's the point of getting it on the calendar first.
Good.
And by the way, even if the trip gets canceled, you need to know that all that time is booked so you can't give it to anything else. And even if the trip doesn't happen, you don't prepare the trip folder 3 weeks in advance and then waste time preparing a trip folder, because if it gets canceled 5 days before, you will have wasted the time. But if you only have to do it 5 days before, there's a good chance you're going on that trip, in which case a trip folder will be necessary and all the details will be in place.
Good.
Now, it can get pretty complicated, right? And it's pretty it's pretty easy to forget something. You're the one not doing the traveling. You just haven't thought through all the things that can happen. So our next point here is when you put this thing together, you just got to imagine the trip to make sure you've caught everything, right? You got to think through, okay, I'm at my boss's house. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. What's going to happen between the time she gets up and the time she ends up at the hotel?
Yep.
Right? Every single thing.
Yep. Before you start creating the trip folder, you work through every element on the calendar. Imagine yourself at your boss's house. How is she going to get from the house to the first thing on the calendar? Okay, car service. Is the car service going to come pick me up? Well, in this case, I'm going to be picked up at home by a car service. That gets me to the airport. Okay. But the car service details better have the phone number of the car service in case the guy's more than 5 minutes late and I have a very narrow time window to make my flight. It's an hour, hour and 15 minutes door to door to the airport. And usually if I'm using a car service I use on a regular basis, I want the phone number of the driver, the cell phone of the driver, which the car service will give you a couple of days in advance. So you would want to create the trip folder a month in advance and not have the cell phone number of the driver. You can't have that for a cab, but you can have it for a car service because they're selecting drivers a couple of 3 or 4 days in advance. Okay. And so you're saying to yourself, okay, I know how to get in the car, but what if the car's late? Well, okay, so then we got the 1-800 number and we've got the driver's cell phone number. And worst case, maybe the boss, the backup is the person who's creating it goes, and worst case, the boss may have to drive him or herself to the airport. Okay. Then I get dropped off in San Antonio and obviously I'm now at the airport. It may very well be that depending upon how your corporate travel office works, you're going to have to put together tickets. Usually tickets are done electronically, but you may want to ask your boss, how are you going to get tickets? Are you going to print out the tickets or do I need to get them to you? Yeah, you can get to the airline at the airport, but it depends on how much time your boss wants to spend at the airport counter. And if your boss is traveling coach and it's 5 o'clock on a Friday, the check-in line is going to be pretty long and security is going to be pretty long. So you need to think about that. Okay, so we know how I'm getting from San Antonio to Dallas, right? That's on my calendar. We know how I'm getting from Dallas to Pittsburgh. We assume that the manager can figure out how to get between two connecting flights in a major airport in the U.S.
Yeah. Most managers can, but you know your boss better than we do, so we'll leave right.
that to you. He's in Pittsburgh, which airport is out in the middle of nowhere. It's not as bad as Denver, but it's out in the middle of nowhere. So you got to get from the airport to the hotel. What are the possible ways to do that? Sometimes the hotel knows best. Sometimes a cab is best. Sometimes waiting for a shuttle is fine. Other times you can't wait for a shuttle. You've got to think about what has to be done, how much work has to be done that night. In this case, for me, it's a car service, but it could be the shuttle, it could be a cab, could be met by another person on our team, or I could be met by a client. And then again, hotel details, which includes the name of the hotel, the phone number, the address, confirmation number, and so on. I can't tell you. It happens a couple times a year. I'm sorry, I don't show any reservation. Here's my confirmation number. Oh, I'm so sorry, sir. Your name was spelled wrong.
There you go.
Not we spelled your name wrong, which, by the way, why would Wendy or me or you or Maggie or anybody else on our team spell my name wrong? No, somebody entered the name wrong. They never say, right? You notice the name was spelled wrong. Okay, who actually did it? Oh, sir, well, I guess it was given to us wrong. Really? You think I didn't spell my name right? You think my assistant who's worked with me for years and know me for years spelled my name wrong? No, I think you guys spelled it wrong. And that happens. I've had people tell me, oh, they don't have my reservation. Yeah, they do. No, they don't. Do you have a confirmation number? Yeah, I do. Well, give me the confirmation number. Why would that help? Because it'll help. That's why.
That's why. Now, a lot of people are probably thinking this is a pretty silly or mundane exercise.
Oh.
So why do? I mean, why convince me that they should do that?
I got to tell you, we have problems with this once a year. And if you're not doing this, you're going to have problems with it five times a year. And if you're doing it the wrong time of the year, when is it most likely to happen? When there are no flights. When you most want to get home, when holidays are involved, when family emotions are going to be running high, right? Gee whiz. This process stops you from missing silly things like getting from airports to airport hotels. How hard can that be, right? It's an airport hotel, except there are three different types of airport hotels. There are airport hotels which are on the hotel, literally in the terminal or within 50 meters of security. Then there are airport hotels that are on the airport, but you have to get a shuttle to because airports, you know, are made for airplanes and cars and not for pedestrians. And then you've got hotels that say they're airport hotels and are within 10 miles. Right. And if you assume at 1 o'clock in the morning that there's a way for somebody to get there, it may not be true. I mean, I don't know much about Scranton. I don't fly through Scranton that often, but I know it has an airport. And I suspect that if you get in there at 2 o'clock in the morning, you can't guarantee that there will be a cab in the cab line outside of Scranton Wilkes-Barre Regional Airport. If you had to go to Dunder Mifflin, for instance. So leaving your boss at an airport without knowing how he or she is going to get to the hotel at 11 or 1 or 2 in the morning is a totally career-limiting move. Now, you might say to yourself, well, I don't feel responsible for that. I'm just trying to help out. Okay, fine. But if your boss thinks you have 1% of responsibility, you might as well have 100% of responsibility. And look, maybe the way to learn how to do this for your boss is to do it for yourself a few times.
There you go. Yeah, I wish you hadn't mentioned Dunder Mifflin because now I'm wondering whether or not Michael Scott is actually listening to our podcast or not. But anyway. Okay, so next step, create the trip folder chronologically. That makes a little bit of sense. Calendar has all the details on it. You create
exactly.
The trip folder just going step by step through the calendar.
Yeah, we've got an attachment to our normal show notes that's a template. We've got a sample show notes that's in a Word document format, so you'll be able to modify it if you want with all the relevant information. And it shows, right, on this particular day, car service with the car service company and then the phone number, a reservation number, and then my flight number, San Antonio to Dallas, departure, arrival, uniform record locator, and then my flight number, Dallas to Pittsburgh, and departure and arrival. And again, record locator, same record locator in this case. My car service, who booked it, what their phone number is, the reservation number, and then the Hyatt information as well, the address on North Shore Drive in Pittsburgh, the confirmation number, and the telephone. Each entry has the time, the thing that will be happening, the confirmation number, and a contact number. Even if the same contact number is used 10 times in a trip folder, we write it out every time. That saves the reader having to go back through and find out what they're looking for. And lately, it seems like, boy, whenever I'm looking for something in a document, I can't find it, right? And the internet has gotten me so good at skimming over things that I can't slow myself down enough, assuming I'll get it on the first pass. I can't slow myself down enough to get the information I need. For flights, Same information that's on the calendar on the trip folder. Flight number, departure, destination city, times of departure and arrival times, and the record locator. Now look, in the case of manager tools, we use military time because we're all used to it. If you find that, I read it too fast, I automatically translated, but departure 1350, arrival 1730. Mike and I and Wendy and Maggie are all totally comfortable with that. Wendy, because she's European, are English, and Mike and Maggie and I, because we were all in the military. It's easier to work through the calendar chronologically than to do all the plane flights and then to go back and then fill in the car services and then to fill in the hotels. It's more foolproof, and that's the way you'll want to read it if you're the one traveling.
Yeah, if you go through it chronologically, it will also become – if you're missing something, it will become more clear.
Yeah, exactly. How am I going to get from here to here? How am I going to get from there to there? What am I doing when I get there? There's always information about the contact person at the client, right? Who am I meeting? What's their phone number? What's their cell phone number? Contact details. If your boss or you are going to meet somebody, include their details on the trip folder, whether it's a service provider or a client. Name, title, contact numbers that you have. We were at a client site recently and the reception asked us to call the person we were meeting once we checked into the building. You got to have a phone number for that. And you know what? People's desk phone just isn't that helpful anymore. It really isn't, right? Specific location details is another thing you've got to have. If you're going to a client site, include the building, the room number, and any entry requirements. When a client says, I'll meet him downstairs, and you're listening to that, you have to say, well, what is downstairs? Is it multiple buildings? Is there just one building? What's the address? Is downstairs, do you guys own the whole building, or is it public security? Can we walk by security? What floor? Sometimes people say, I'm on the 21st floor, and they say, I'll meet him downstairs, meaning the 19th floor, which is the lobby for that company. And you stand at security downstairs, and they say, we have no record of you coming, because you don't have to stop at downstairs security. You get to go all the way to floor 19, which is where that company's private elevators start. But you don't know that, and somebody's waiting. And no offense, but if this is happening in Europe at 8 o'clock in the morning and the admin person is in California, you're not waking somebody up at 1 in the morning, probably not, to say, am I supposed to be on the bottom floor or the 19th floor? I just don't know. And if something untoward happened along the way to, you know, the cab was delayed, or even though there's a cab stand, some big client had taken all the cabs and it's another 15 minutes and now your boss is running late. Now, because you didn't actually imagine them going through each step of the process and where are they going to end up? And by the way, being on the curb outside the building is not enough to start a meeting inside the building, then it's your fault. So specific details.
How about maps? We did an engagement time. It was for an educational organization, and the place we ended up doing it, it was like the catacombs, man. It was amazing the trip we had to make to get to where we were going to present.
Yeah. Let me mention one more thing before we talk about maps, and that is, be prepared to have your bags searched, folks. Be prepared to, if you're going to lug something, to not have any help and to have to get past security and have ID and all that kind of stuff. Don't show up without your wallet. Don't show up with all kinds of stuff in your bag you don't want somebody going through. That's the last thing you want to do. Now, frankly, I hate taking my rollerboard suitcase to a client, even if I'm finishing at 2 o'clock and I'm going straight to the airport. As long as things aren't going to be too tight, I leave my rollerboard suitcase at the hotel. And now, some hotels, maybe not. If I'm in a low rent hotel, there's really no bellman or something, I'm not super comfortable with that. But when I'm in a major city, if I'm staying at a reasonably nice hotel, if I can tip somebody on the bell stand $5 or $10 and say, I'm going to be back for this at 2 or 3 o'clock, and they give you, of course, a claim check, I'd much rather do that than. It just feels weird to spend your morning going around the building if your client doesn't have an admin that you could an office that you can stash your bag in. Maybe you're meeting a client who's flying in from another location to this headquarters location, and you don't know where to put your bag. The worst thing in the world is it's a personal preference of mine not to be dragging my suitcase around the office. It just looks weird to me. I'd rather just have a briefcase. Okay. But you're right, maps. If your manager is going to be driving or walking somewhere, or for that matter, if they've never been where they're going to before, include a map and driving instructions. You know, TripIt does this if you don't want to do it yourself. Not all rental car locations offer GPS. Phones don't always get a signal. In fact, we mentioned Pittsburgh. I remember driving specifically from Pittsburgh to Cincinnati once. This was in the early days of cell phones, and actually, it was the early days of smartphones. I think I had a Palm Trio, and I was on the interstate and had no signal and literally had no maps either. So get an overview of where you're going and don't rely on the PDA to have a perfect map because it may be that you're on a corporate campus, for instance, in which case the map is not reliable. The Google map may not be reliable at all. Okay. Yeah. So you got to have a map. Agreed.
Now, things change quite a bit. So what do we do in terms of quality assurance to make sure that we don't send our boss on this wild goose chase because we inadvertently wrote down something wrong or something changed and we didn't get it done?
Wendy and I have this happen all the time where the flight on my calendar on iCal is exactly the same flight number as the flight on my trip folder. And it's wrong. And the reason why is because the trip folder didn't get checked against the airline's website or against an original source that created the information. The calendar from where we're taking the information off of to put on the trip folder is not an original source, right? So you got to check the airline flights against your itinerary on the airline's website. Look, flight times change even after tickets are issued, folks. And frankly, flights get canceled. And if you're not using your airline's cancellation and flight notification updates were 4 hours before, 2 hours before, 30 minutes before with gate change information as well. You're crazy. It's a free service. It's a no-brainer to get it. You don't need – I remember years ago we used to carry around something that was about 3/4 inch thick, about 5 inches tall – no, about 8 inches tall and about 3 inches wide. And it was literally I'm forgetting the name of it now. It was a flight schedules. It was every flight in the U.S. that giving month. And you could find from any two, you could either look by airline or you could look by any two locations and you could find, you know, from Pittsburgh to Dallas, what are all the flights? Now we don't have to do that anymore. I don't recommend you get one or carry one, but stuff changes. And maybe it's only 5 or 10 minutes, but if your calendar and folder say your flight's leaving at 4 and it's actually 3:50, for those people who really want to be there a half an hour before to make sure they get overhead bag space or to make sure you're there as early as possible to get a chance to be upgraded if, in fact, you're a somewhat frequent flyer but not an incredibly frequent flyer, you know, 10 minutes can make a lot of difference. I'm amazed at the people who complain about their seats when they show up 10 minutes before the flight or people who complain about their seats and – I say, well, didn't you request a seat? Oh, no, I didn't have time to do that. Jeez, dude, it only takes like 10 seconds.
Right.
Yeah, so, and you got to check other details too. Hotel confirmations, car service, against the original emails you got, against the original confirmation information you got. Going through that process ensures that what you have on the calendar is accurate. And you may have to go back. And once you got it on the calendar accurate, then you can create the trip folder. And stuff gets mistyped. You want to avoid that. That's why you go to an original source.
Yeah. Okay. So next point, add a last page with 20 most frequently called numbers. Man, that's a lot of numbers.
Yeah. Look, you know, the people you're most likely to call while you're traveling, it's the last page of the trip folder. We didn't talk about it before. I don't know why I didn't. I just completely had a brain cramp on it. Your family, your team, your boss, the number of your airline, the number of your travel agent.
Right. And a lot of this doesn't change, right? I mean, a lot of this is most of those numbers, vast majority of them are probably the same every trip. And then maybe you're updating 4 or 5.
Yeah. I'll tell you the trenchant moment in this cast was when you said, imagine if your boss has never had this done before for her and her before and you do this for him. Hey, look, here's a trip folder. I'm not saying you want to suck up if you're a manager and you do this for some director who doesn't need you to do it. I'll probably go, what? You did this for me? What a suck up. But if in fact you're assisting in some way, if you're an assistant or if you're a special assistant or if you're a liaison or if you're some sort of junior person in a special program rotating through, gosh, to do this would be awesome. And I got to tell you something. It'd be impressive enough to stay late one night to do it and to get it right.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah. So 20 most frequently called numbers so that if they lose their phone where all their phone numbers are, whereas, you know, and before we had a lot less phone numbers to remember and they were always written down. Now everybody had phone books, but we don't have them anymore. At least ones that we don't have those that aren't battery powered in some way.
Right. And even if you don't have a lot of numbers, the ones you have, you're always pressing a speed dial. You never actually type in the number. You know, I talk to my wife on her cell phone all the time. I have no idea what her cell phone number is. I just know it's, you know, call Sean.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And then the last thing you got to do is you got to make sure the person, it's not enough to have a trip folder, an electronic document that makes it easy for you to see it and for them to see it. You've got to print this thing out, right? First of all, it's a great double check of all the information you have. Make sure you haven't missed anything. But it gives the traveler something to print out and take them with them, right? Cell phones run out of batteries. You can't always get a signal. Your laptop, your iPad, your Kindle can't always be used. They run out of battery too. And frankly, let me ask you, when was the last time somebody asked you to use your cell phone? Unless it was your spouse, right? Texting a kid or something like that. And you know why that is? It's not because cell phones don't die, because raise your hand if you've had a cell phone die. Every single one of you just raise your hands, right? It's not that. It's that people don't ask.
Right.
Right? We don't ask. And so, okay, actually, I'll tell you now, it's okay to ask, but this happens all the time. And you ought to be prepared for asking, and you ought to have a phone number. Would you mind if I dial? Now, obviously, if they're smart, they'll dial the number for you so you're not dialing some drug dealer or something like that. But you got to be willing to ask, or you got to find a payphone. And there aren't as many of them as there used to be in the world. Look, having a printed description of where you're supposed to be and who you're supposed to be with is invaluable. In fact, do that in front of a client, in front of a customer. Take out a printed trip folder. Ask your admin to do it. Or if you're doing it for somebody else, ask them, hey, did that help? And have them say, yeah, I pulled it out of my briefcase when I was leaving the client. And they said, what's that? I said, this is my trip folder. One of my guys prepares it for me every time just to dot the I's and cross the T's in case all hell breaks loose. I've got something that I can use to stand track. And people will look at it and go, those people who don't know, who haven't been executive, will go, oh my gosh, that's the greatest thing in the world. I got to talk to my assistant about that. Or, oh my gosh, I need an assistant like yours.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's it.
And folks, and this is just the basics of the trip folder. What we didn't talk about was, look, if your boss has five or six meetings that require certain materials to be present, part of the trip folder is, okay, here's the presentation that you're going through for yep. this client. Here's the document you need for this client. Here's the document you need yep. for this meeting, right? So this is just the beginning of it.
Yeah. And how many times have I been on a plane? I've got a 45-minute plane ride. I don't want to light my laptop up. I don't want to get to the particular PowerPoint presentation. I don't want to have to go through all that. And so Wendy's got my presentation printed out. I can look at it on the plane and make some last-minute thoughts, even though I've probably thought about it for hours and hours and days and days and days, as you guys well know. And it's right there in the trip folder. And heaven forbid, if I were traveling with somebody and I was co-presenting with somebody, I could show them the presentation in print, sitting between each other or in our hotel room, and I could share the information and it'd be much easier if I have a printed version. Or I could say, look, I'll look at my laptop. You look at the printed version.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
That's it. So get the details on the calendar as they change, keep them updated. And then shortly before you're going to create the printed trip folder, right? You got to imagine the trip. You've got to walk you through every step. Okay. You get out of the car at the airport. Where are they standing? Okay. They're at the curb. How do they get through? Okay. They got to get through security. Do they have their driver's license or their passport, right? How are they going to get tickets? Well, how much time do they need to security? How much back planning do I need for that? Every step in the process. You create the trip folder chronologically. That's how people think when they're on trips. You've got to include confirmations, phone numbers, contact details, maps, phone numbers of every single service provider, and as well as contacts and clients and customers and so on. You've got to go back and check it against the original source. Get those 20 most frequently called numbers on there, and then you've got to make sure it gets printed. If they're not going to take it on their desk, you're not sure they're going to get it on the desk, slip it into their briefcase with a note on it. Thought this might help you on your trip, step by step along the way. No question. Getting a trip folder really isn't, creating one really isn't very hard. It needs to be accurate, and that makes it, you're going to dot your I's and cross your T's, and you're going to have to pause a couple of times to make sure you get it right. And you got to make sure you have everything on it. Having everything on it makes sure your trip will get done, even if you get stuck somewhere along the way. It's important to do well, and therefore it's worth us taking the time to walk you through it step by step. It's worth our time. It's worth yours to do it well. And if you do it for yourself a few times, then you're going to be good at doing it for your boss. And maybe your boss doesn't need it, but whenever you have somebody working for you that's going to be assisting you in some way, once you know how to do it, you can teach them how to do it. Yeah. That's it.
I've never heard of anyone who received a trip folder from an assistant or admin who said, no. After using it once, they go like, oh, yeah, please continue.
Yeah. Or they'll say no, and you might say, well, I'll keep doing it. provided you're not doing it as a sucking up exercise. And then when they really need it, they're like, wow, this is the greatest thing in the world. Are you really willing to keep doing it? Oh, absolutely, dude, because I do it for myself and I know what it's like to be stuck out there, and it's worth to dot your I's and cross your T's.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Cool, my friend. Hey, thanks.
My pleasure, partner.
All right, we'll see you. Thanks, everyone. That's it. We'll see you next week. In the meantime, have a great one. So long.